And welcome to the Supertone Show. The show's co-hosted by Simon Campbell and myself, Susie Starnight, who does it every week. We're both musicians, songwriters, and run a vintage residential recording studio in Valencia, España. Now, on the show today, we're joined by the enigmatic and hugely, hugely talented singer, songwriter, and actress, Carol Mendoza. And today's show is sponsored by
Gartone Amplification. God, it's so horny. I can hardly keep my love in my mini metro with these amplifiers. I have two of the fuckers, a 3x10 Bandmaster, and a 2x12, we call it the Reverb King. Fantastic machine. I was using it over the weekend, sounds fantastic.
What colour is it?
Well, the Reverb King is black, like my heart. The Vibrato King, which is the 3x10 Bandmaster from like the late 50s. Stop it, ladies. is brown.
Maroon.
Like Bob. Yes. Si. Labrador. Okay.
Like Bob.
Here's a question before we start, Carol.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Yes. And hello and welcome to
Thank
the show.
Thank you very much.
I have a theory here. Like, should an amp be black or brown? What's a sexy colour for an amp? What colour should an amp be?
I think black.
Yeah.
Like my heart and my mind.
Yeah, one better.
No, I think my heart is pink.
Pink, yes.
Like my mind.
Well, we've just had a lovely afternoon. We've all got family and friends here today. Had a beautiful paella.
Yes, yes.
So we're all kind of a little bit.
It was a nice day.
A bit excited.
In a beautiful place, even.
Yeah, thank you. It's a magical place, Estevayer, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. It is. Love the views and you.
Yeah, and you.
You're magical.
I must admit, though, we're very, very excited to have Carol with us today. I can't believe you just said that, by the way.
Now, we've got to get some context here because we were supposed to start at about 11 o'clock. Everyone was supposed to arrive at 11.
Yes.
And we were supposed to do this show, the podcast, before lunch. But what happened is that in true Spanish style, everybody arrives up. And it's when I say everyone, we've got David Garginski, who was on the show a few weeks ago. Or is he going to be on the show next? No, that's right. He's on the show in a couple of weeks.
That's right, yeah.
David and his family and Kike, and they all came with the stuff for paella. So instead of actually doing anything at all, we started to cook paella.
Yeah.
And then, well, I didn't do it, but they did. And it was fantastic. And we had lots of red wine and Mistela?
Mistela.
Mistela, see, Mistela.
Mistela.
And, so
but we were good girls. We just had agua.
Yeah, but I didn't. So, but I'm not drunk. I'm okay.
See, of course. It helps the digestion. So
the Mistela helps a lot.
In every way.
So we're so excited that you're here today. We love you and we love your band. We'll talk about Limbertech and all your projects later on. But let's start off with your favourite song.
Yes.
So which song do you listen to that makes you want to turn the radio up?
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people do it because you can't stop your feet moving with this song. And it's my favourite, my mom's favourite song too. So I used to hear it when I was very little.
Yeah.
And Tutti Frutti, I think it's the best song in the world.
Really?
Yes, I want to dance it right now.
Absolutely. Let's have a listen to it now then. Wah, bah, 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 Tutti Frutti.
Do it to me, tutti frutti, oh rude, tutti frutti, oh rude.
Tutti Frutti and Little Richard, what a track. You have to dance.
Yeah, you have to dance. It's like that. Dance and sing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and all the time.
Well, we were watching a documentary the other night with Lemmy. You know Lemmy from Motorhead, the bass player?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lemmy. And he was saying that Little Richard was his favourite artist. He was the one that started it all. His vocal and his delivery. He started rock and roll.
Yeah, it's a figure of the culture and the culture song. And he's mentioned this dynamic boy, no?
I know.
Singing. And this song is one of the best of artists in the world, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And the funny thing is as well, it's only very short. It's only 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, it's a proper pop song. It's because, you know, pop songs really evolved with the Beatles in the early 60s and stuff and, you know, those very short things. But this, 2:26, at that time, it's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
It's a short, snappy, you know. And a lot of the thing, it's on the same fucking chord, you know? It's not moving a lot, you know, because you go, wah, bah, bah, loo, bah, 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 and he starts on the same chord again. It's not, there's no five in there. Anyway.
So did you used to dance to this with your mum then, if this is
yes, your mum's? Yes, and my mum did it with my grandma when she was little, because the song is from 50s.
Yeah.
So they made the parties at home.
Yeah.
And the uncles, the aunt, and all the family were dancing this kind of music.
Wow.
This American rock and roll.
So where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I born in Argentina, but I grew up here in Spain. And my parents are from Argentina.
Wow.
So in 60s, Argentina had the American culture.
Yeah.
The music, the cars, and the way of dressing and all of that. Very different from here in Spain. It was
That's
different.
Right, because so yeah. You saw, were introduced to the 60s, because in Spain, of course, because Franco was here.
Yes, it was really different.
Nothing
here.
Nothing happened until the 70s,
really. Only Spanish music, specific copla. Do you know copla?
No, what is copla?
Copla, it's a kind of old music here. It becomes something like flamenco. It becomes from the flamenco.
See.
Okay.
Well, we will see later, but copla, it was only the music we listened to in the radio.
See.
Copla and an army marching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Military.
Military marching. It was very boring. No. Poor people.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, as well.
And then, but when did you start to listen to music? How old were you then?
Well, when I was very little, because my parents loved music. But I have my dad, he has a kind of music in the car, and my mother. My mother loved 50s American rock and roll, like Tutti Frutti and all of that. And my father had something like, sorry, papi. Kenny G.
No.
Richard Klenderman.
No.
Yeah. The car was a torture. Yes. Yes. It was very bad. But
Richard Klenderman.
And I hated it when I was very little. Yeah. I hated it. It was really depressing for me. It was just crying in the car. No. Why, papi? Change the music.
Did you walk a lot more than you wanted to then? Like, no, it's okay, I won't have a lift, I'll walk.
The radio, Papa, the radio. Thank you.
So your mother was really cool then?
Yeah, yes.
Is she still alive? Is she still alive?
Yes, yes, my father and my mother.
In both in Argentina still?
No, they are here
with
us, yes. They are since 1981.
Right, and whereabouts do they live? They live in your town?
In Alcira, yes, they are living there. And my mother is still listening this kind of music and dancing this kind of music, and she dances very nice, rock and roll, yes.
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of South American ladies, they have fantastic rhythm. It's a different rhythm than the black rhythm, it's a different rhythm than the European thing. It's a very specific, you know, yeah. way of dancing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They dance much better than Spanish people. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's like that.
Right, all right. So it's going to be
I
that
think
sort of
Spanish
show.
People think like me.
No, no, there is that thing, though, whether or not you... It's in the way your body moves as well. And if you haven't got it, it's like the yeah. groove. You haven't got it. And
like we don't have the habitude to mm-hmm. dance mm-hmm. or to think about good dancing, no?
See.
We don't have it here in Spain. I think so. It's in my opinion.
What were your friends listening to? If your mum was influencing you with the 50s and 60s, were your friends listening to similar music or
No.
So
no.
you
every
unusual.
Kind of music.
Every kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Spanish rock and roll from 80s and
yeah.
That's my friends.
Yeah, yeah. And
or electronic music, techno music. Dance music.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. A mix, strange mix in my ears.
But now, I mean, the sort of things you're doing now are quite, it's indie, Spanish indie, is that what
indie.
You...
Indie.
Yeah, that's what you'd categorise it as, yeah?
I don't know.
Because it's a quite a unique sound. I had the privilege of mixing the live a live show. For Limbertech a few months ago from Wawa. And, of course, having spent all that time with the music, you really get into it. And it's quite an interesting mix because David, who's going to be on in a couple of weeks' time, mm-hmm. Jaginski, one of the guitar players, he has a very American sound. He sounds it's a bit Tom Verlaine, it's a bit Wilco, it's a bit that sort of thing. But it's crossed with these very obviously Spanish lyrics, which I commend you to deliver because to sing in Spanish is quite difficult because you have to sing it. The vowels are the same.
Yeah. This is our third album. You are talking about Crash.
Yes.
And in Crash we have all songs in Spanish language. Languages, but the other albums, The Way the Wind Band and Mon Diable, we have a lot of songs in English.
Is that right?
Yes, yes. This is our first album with all the songs in Spanish. And it's very hard to write the songs. And we do it, everyone in Limbertech. Camilo, David, me, Raúl, everyone has written these songs.
Brilliant. They are really good. Because, I mean, and they get in your soul. And we're going to hopefully hear one later on. But anyway, let's move on to the next item.
Well, Carol. So we've got from Little Richard. Then so I've got to obviously I know exactly what you're going to say. So what is the song that you hear that makes you want to turn the radio off?
Yeah. Kenny G, sorry, Kenny, but no, please, no more albums. Thank you very much, Kenny.
Well, you've chosen a song for Forever in Love, and this is
yes, for example.
For example, so what we're going to do, we're going to play it.
No.
And you tell us when to turn it off, okay? But try and give us 20 seconds, and then it's up to you.
Okay.
We need to know how you feel.
It hurts. Yeah, you can find that in any elevator or something like that. Yes. Or at the dentist.
See?
You know, waiting.
That keyboard sound. Oh my goodness.
No, is when it hurts. I can't resist.
Listen to that tone though.
No, but I stop it.
But it sounds so romantic and...
Yeah.
Well,
he pretends.
So do you think it's... Well, I need you to tell us, actually. How does it make you feel? Seriously, what do you think when you hear this music? Seriously.
Yes, and... Kenny G create his own style.
Yeah.
Style, but I don't like this kind of style. Who likes it? It's so depressed, isn't it? I don't know, huh? What do you think?
No, this is a thing. We need you. I just have visions of you being a young girl in your father's car listening to this.
And just
wondering.
Or imagine this song when you are in the beach, no, all the day playing, and you come back home with this song.
Right, I understand.
It's very sad.
See.
Unfortunately, it reminds me of a friend of ours who lives in Valencia. He's a British guy, and he is a self-styled Kenny G.
Yeah?
Yeah, for a laugh. He's a great saxophonist. But his alter ego, he puts his mankini on. Do you understand what a mankini is?
See?
He has his mankini, and he's very skinny, white... sax player from England, from Leeds, which is even worse, from the north of England, with his sax and his mankini.
And just smoke.
And the smoke machine and the wind blowing through his long hair. So this
Very
is for
funny.
You, our friend, Simon Taylor. If you're listening...
We love
he's
you.
He's going to be around in about 20 minutes.
Kisses.
Yes, much kisses. But he is. He's a great sax player, but his alter ego, it's like on Saturday night, Steve becomes Stephanie on Saturday night.
He becomes Simon T.
Simon becomes,
Simon
yes,
T.
energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, moving on.
Yeah, it's funny, though. I think, I don't know what happened with the saxophone, because there was an era when it was really in and loads of people were playing. And then it kind of went out of fashion for a while. And I think it's starting to come back in again now.
Yeah?
People, not maybe necessarily, yeah, in different styles of music, though, as opposed mm-hmm. to the Disney romantic kind of...
Romantic.
Yeah. I think it has... It can be more edgy. It can be used in a better way.
Yeah, because I think it's cheesy. I mean, in Limbertech, Gerard plays saxophone. You know, he's a great horn player. But you do hear a lot of artists now with sax in there. But it's definitely more edgy. It's more. It's not as traditionally melodic. It's a bit more jazzy. It's a bit more free. You know. Whereas the era that I was started making music was around the era of. Baker Street and all those things where these big sax things came in and these motifs, and it was quite cheesy. And even one of my favourite albums, Famous Blue Raincoat by Jennifer Warnes, on Song for Bernadette, there's this really cheesy sax in it. And the rest of the song is fantastic, you know. She's got an amazing voice. It's top LA session players, you know, Kaluta and all those guys. And but there's this really bad sax in it, so it sort of reminds me of Kenny G and that whole thing. But you know, in defence of the saxophone, I think it's coming back.
See, was it? And David was saying the Piero about having a super group. Was it with?
Yes.
Who was it with?
Richard Klenderman.
Yeah.
Kenny G.
Michael Bolton on vocals.
Singing.
See, can you imagine all those together?
Phil Collins.
And Phil, that's Collins, right, Phil. Phil's a good drummer, though. I've got to hang it on his foot because he can actually do it. But, you know, anyway, I know where we're coming from.
See.
It's a style.
So when you were growing up then, so you preferred your mother's type of music. When did you start thinking about singing? When did you start singing?
Well, I started singing with David Garthinsky.
Okay.
I remember we were in a theater, very boring summer.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me and he said to me, I'm looking for a singer because I'm trying some songs at home. And I say, what? Why not? Me? Yeah. So, he told me, yeah. You? Yes, why not? And we start like that with 20 years old or something like that, doing some songs on the computer and inventing lyrics and trying. And I started like that. And I start to listen other music with Garthinsky, jazz music, some general kind of music that never I have listened.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I started with Garthinsky, and then we're going on.
So did you Did he know that you were you sang? I mean, did you sing at all before then, or was Limbertech your first band? Or
my first band? Yes. Well, I was singing with other bands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this is my band. Yeah. My band.
You can tell as
my
well.
My first project. Yeah.
Yeah, and how long have you been? You've been together quite a long time now, haven't you?
Garfinski and me, yes, 15 years.
That's a beautiful.
More or less. Wow. 15 years. Wow,
that's a lot.
We are old.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Oh dear.
Listen, I am old. You are mere child, but it's okay. I will watch over you like. Yes, there's a lot of laughter here today. I'm not quite sure that I'm pissed or I'm actually just very happy. I think I'm very happy, actually, because that's it. What do you think, darling?
I think we're happy.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, it's good energy in the house
happy
today.
Happy chemicals.
That's right. I think they're having a party downstairs there because the rest of the guys are all downstairs with the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a vat full of wine and
drinking Mistela wine and everything you have in the fridge.
That's right. So we'll get down there and there'll be bottles all over the floor and we'll be passed out. You know, but it's okay. It's okay. Anyway, I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I think it's time for
the shit.
So, this feature called
the the shit
is about a song that just really sort of has inspired you, your favourite band, and a song from your favourite band and why you love them. The shit. So who have you chosen for your favourite band or favourite song?
Well, this is one of my favourite bands because I have a lot of bands. But I really admire this band because they become this vintage sound.
Yeah.
They can play rockabilly and rhythm and blues, and they are very young.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are siblings, and they are multi-instrumental music.
Wow.
They can play guitar, piano. Guitar, piano, banjo, lap steel, harmonica, double bass, ukulele, drums, trombone, guitar, accordion. Between them.
But nobody.
All three.
But nobody plays the triangle. Where's the triangle on that list?
The triangle?
Yeah, that's more important.
We miss the triangle. Very important.
Forget all that.
I can go with them.
CC.
If they want. Play the triangle.
Very important role indeed. So is it Kitty, Daisy and Lewis?
Lewis. They're from the north of London.
Okay.
And they are siblings.
Wow, I've never heard of them. Let's have a listen because I've not listened to this yet.
Nothing in the bubble making me
Daisy and Lewis, Polly Put the Kettle On. I'd not heard that before. When I saw the track title, Carol, I thought it was going to be like a traditional Polly Put the Kettle On, but it's completely different.
Yes, different, but it sounds really, really old style.
Yeah, and this is this is a new band then.
Yes, this is a new band, and they are very young, maybe on the 20s. And this is their first album. They have three albums.
Okay.
This is the first one. I prefer this one.
Yeah.
But they are amazing. They are very, very good musicians, yeah.
Another song that you've chosen that you have to dance to. Well, you can't not. But dance, you have to dance.
Yeah, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
It's funny. See? It's a funny song, yes. See? And all the album is like that. You have to hear it with calm and dancing. For a party, it's perfect.
I find that quite interesting that that some people connect with music because of the emotion and you have a very, obviously, a strong connection with dancing with your music as
optimistic music, dancing music,
optimistic music. That's good. That's a nice
that exists in English or not
really. No.
In
most English music it's very depressing, especially American stuff.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I invent my English, my own English.
Well, and it's a beautiful way of like we try and invent our Spanish, I think, as well.
Have you been to England? Have you ever been to England?
Never.
Never?
Never. Never.
You have
I have to. I want to go.
Yeah, it's
soon.
It's a great place, you know, and there's still some good music there, definitely. But it's changed a lot, you know. A lot of the live venues have closed now, and it is more difficult to go out and see bands, really, you know. So, the music scene is still very, you know, vibrant there. You know, there's loads of bands, but it's totally different. What we didn't realise when we came to Spain is how blinkered we were in England, because when you come over here, the world of Spanish music is huge, and everybody thinks of Julio Iglesias. In England, if you say Spanish music,
it's your the Spanish music arrives to London is like Julio Iglesias like that.
That's right.
Estefan.
And
Gloria Estefan.
That was it.
Yeah,
really?
But, you know,
but not something from Spain.
Absolutely not. It's very, very rare. There's a show on Six Music is a digital station run by the BBC in the UK, and it tends to be more alternative stuff. And there's a lady who presents on Sunday morning, Curtis Matthews, who's very famous. She used to be in a band.
Catatonia.
Well, she still is in a band, I think, Catatonia. Mm. And, she's very well regarded. And she plays a lot of world music. And occasionally you do get Spanish artists on there. But if it is a Spanish artist, it tends to be flamenco. Nobody hears in England ever Spanish rock music, ever Spanish indie music. They'll hear flamenco, they'll hear that, you know, the American Spanish music, like, you know, My Sound Machine, etc. And then, of course, old Julio.
Enrique
Iglesias. Well, I think it's by the fact of the language. I think British people and American people usually listen in English songs. They understand. And we usually listen the same music as you. But I think it's something like the language. I remember talking with a British guy, talking about that question, because they don't understand Spanish lyrics and they don't understand the music. It's always the same. The flamenco and this kind of music is all around, all the flamenco. But not the bands we have here and the bands we are playing in English.
Yeah.
In English or something like that.
I mean, I've found some fascinating Spanish bands over here. And well, one of the reasons why you're here is that we do love Limbertech, the band, you know, Carol's band, and Dave's band, you know, the great. But there are a lot of bands here that try to that what we've seen try to emulate American or a British acts, and it just doesn't work. You don't do that. You do something a little bit different. You do something that's very Spanish, really.
It's a good fusion,
you know. And yeah. When you hear people that mix the Spanish music with American and British music or European music generally, you know, it tends to work better because some of the bands are insistent on trying to play rock and roll like Britain, and they can't do it.
This is really difficult.
Because the whole feeling of the thing is totally, we're brought up with a different rhythm thing going on, you know.
Yes.
You know, in England, you know, the rock drum thing is the first thing you learn and shuffles, but here I think it's all slightly different.
And here is something very... very modern. It's a fact, modern, because we have rock and roll by 70s or
That's
80s.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Well, the way we were talking before of Franco's years with Coppola and all of that. So rock and roll here arrives in 70s or 80s. So that's very young,
you know? Yeah, that's right.
And that's different. At Limbotech, we have a mix with mixed languages and mix of sounds. Mm. Some country, rockabilly, I don't know. All mix it in a song. We transform the song, the covers, to the French, some Spanish song to French language, and that. And Limbotech is something very, very different that we usually heard.
Yeah. Well, that's right, and that's why I like it. I think we love it, honestly. I know we're going on a little bit. We love this band. We love this band. Anyway, we're going to play some later on. Just hang on. Don't tune off now and go onto YouTube and look up Limbotech. Well, you can, actually, but then you've got to come back in a minute. Right, so what's next? What the fuck's happening?
Well, I think we're going to open a big white door.
The white door.
Oh, dear.
To find out what's inside your fridge. Right, we've not seen this. I know Carol sent it through a couple of days ago. So we've got sent through a photo of the contents of a fridge. We were messaging before, and it's like the photo later. I have to go shopping
because I have nothing.
And then we have all the things
for the paella.
See, of course,
our things, our stuff.
Go on then.
Yeah,
Simon Campbell. What's
I'm just looking at the bottom shelf there. As you can, I can see stuff for the paella that we cooked today.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
That was in there. I see some fruit. Not much beer in there. Do you have a separate beer fridge?
We have a fridge only for the beer.
No,
No.
Yes. Well, I forget to do the picture of this fridge too.
That would be just too embarrassing. But I thought so because looking at it and knowing Kike, I think that he would certainly have more beers in the fridge than that. It's okay.
It looks like you've got like an amp or something, or some sort of unit, electrical gadget. In your, what is this? What is that black thing there with the big knob on it?
This is beer.
Oh, it's beer.
We have beer.
Oh,
as well.
Thank you.
That's my husband.
Now we have healthy.
Nervous. Yeah,
needs to be next to the yogurt. So, do you like cooking at home?
Not really. My husband.
Good answer.
That's. He's my husband. Yes.
Yes.
I love him.
Yes. Same here. I do all the fucking cooking. So we're both.
Yes.
So I think later on we'll have a drink together and then celebrate our slavery to the stove, our obsession with the oven.
Modern women, you see.
Well, it's great, you know. From what I saw today, he loves it. He's really, really good at his paella. I've got to say, it's one of the best paellas, and this is including all the people in Estevella, if you're listening.
You never say they are, of course.
I think that this is one of the best paellas I've ever eaten, including in a restaurant, and that includes everywhere in Estevella. Now, what do you think about that? But we're going to be dead quiet. Don't tell anybody.
Turn the buzzer
off. Fact that millions of people are probably secrets. Could listen to this. Don't worry. They won't know. Right. So, anyway, we cook. That's fantastic.
I do. I can cook. I just didn't want to do that role full time, if you know what I mean. I think when we were talking before, I think it's quite acceptable, really, because we do other things, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a proper team.
I cook because I have to.
Yeah.
But my husband does something experimental.
Yeah.
Experimental.
Yeah.
At cooking.
See.
With mixing ingredients, strange ingredients and something like that. Yes.
You know, I tried years ago, I was a vegetarian for about 7 years, and I remember trying to cook a lasagna.
Lasagna!
And you know the sheets of the pasta?
Sheets!
Yeah. Sheets! This is a difficult word
in Spanish, because it can be sheet. Everybody says, this is your language is sheet. Now, does this mean a big white thing that you put on your bed? Or is it shit?
Exactly. It's very similar.
Anyway, sheets of lasagna.
So I had these sheets of lasagna, of pasta, And I put it in the oven and it came out and I was like, yeah, vegetable sauce, muy bien, excelente. And I put my knife in and it was rock solid. And I didn't ever attempt. I was thinking, I failed, I don't know what I've done. And so, it took me years to realise that I'd bought the pasta that needed soaking in the water beforehand.
Yes,
and I didn't.
So it absorbed all the water and the salt. I've never heard that before.
No, it just didn't. It was rock hard. I hadn't softened the pasta.
Oh dear! So it was like a rock.
Yes. And I thought I can't cook. I can't cook that dish.
You are the best.
So I moved on. I went on to spaghetti bolognese.
Yes, yes.
I used to have that once a week.
I understand you. See? I'm like you. Don't worry.
And it's like
like you.
It's like when I was at school, I did cooking for 2 years, and then when it got but I was doing woodwork from 11 and I didn't want to cook, so I just did woodwork.
Yeah,
I thought I wanted to learn a practical skill that didn't involve a saucepan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So mm-hmm. I can make things, I just don't make it with food.
Okay, Carol, now the song that changed it all for you, because and I know what this is. And I have been plagued with this song. I've been plagued with this record from a very early age, right, for many reasons. But, just talk a little bit about what we're going to hear.
Well, I have not a song, but I have a film that I watched maybe 500 times.
This is the one that's played now. 500 times.
Maybe.
Fantastic. I love you.
And I love it. And it's in this film is Grease.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sandy.
Tell me about it, Stir.
Flying, and I'm losing control, 'cause the power you're supplying, it's electrifying.
Shape up if I'm gonna prove that my faith.
But when I was a child, yeah. I liked her at the end. I hate her all the film.
Really?
Yeah. But I like her when in the end, when she's bad or something like
when
that.
When she's bad, you mean?
Badly.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because she was a bit prissy, wasn't she, all the way through it, you know? A bit sort of...
She was a romantic. She was kind of just being like...
Oh, baby.
Probably a bit like I could relate to her before, actually.
Except without the big dresses on, the big sort of A-line.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't A-line, they were like the big, big, all sticking out things. And
I tell you what, though, it's such a classic movie. I remember my first time I went to New York and I was like, oh, let's go to a diner because of Greece,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, let's go to a diner. So we went in and it was the long room and I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's real. It's real. I'm here. And on the TV was Greece.
No. No.
Yeah. It was a perfect moment.
Dear. Holy shit.
And I was like, can I have a double cheeseburger, please? Can I get?
That's right, it'd be as big as you, a double cheeseburger over there, as big as you.
But, Carol, I think this movie had such an important effect on so many young girls.
Yeah.
Because
girls.
How many...
Actually.
Yes.
Boys, because...
No.
I can see the Simon's face.
Well, I'm going to...
You love it, too, Simon?
No, I have watched it a lot of times.
Yeah?
That's why I say it's plagued me over... virtually all my life since it actually came out.
I went to see it 5 times. It was on...
5 times?
For 2 weeks. Yeah. And I went again and again and again. Because yes. I grew up in a beautiful town, but, you know, there's
Ross-on-Wye.
It's a beautiful place.
Beautiful.
But my imagination, you know, I wanted to... I love the movies. I love to be taken away from my life and to explore things.
This is the way to watch a film, a movie.
And this is what music does to you as well, but I love the visual stimulation with the two, so this was like the perfect thing.
Yeah. But it really sells that, you know, that American, like, late 50s dream, didn't it? You know, you could do anything you wanted, and life was beautiful. It's like the Fonz.
Yes, so everything beautiful, perfect, no?
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
Perfect vision of American way.
Did you want to be a pink lady?
Maybe.
Good
answer. I think she wanted to be one of the rockers, the ladies in black, negro.
Yes, my heart is black. No, actually, I watched Mad Men. Have you ever...
Mad Men, yeah. I've watched...
Do you know the series,
Mad Men? I've watched most of it, yeah.
And I love that because it's the other face of 50s, with everyone, with the pin-ups, girls smoking and drinking and... getting drunk and all of that. And I love this series because it breaks that you say, the dream of America, the perfect view of America.
Yeah.
Mad Men is the other face.
Well, that's right. I mean, but when you see this film, you know, you don't actually think of what was going on at the time. I mean, and I'm not being political here, but all the stuff that was happening in the South, mm-hmm. you know, with the blacks still being terribly oppressed, and them starting to come in through as musicians, you know, with all the blues guys coming up. But they earned shit. They didn't earn any money at all. It was only when, it was really when the British, and I'm not just saying it's British here, but it was true, when the British brought the American music over, the blues music from there into England, that it started to get popular, you know, with the Rolling Stones and to the extent the Beatles, and certainly all the blues, electric blues guys like Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck and the Yardbirds and all these bands that were in the 60s in Britain, they imported the blues into Europe. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it became cool. So when the black guys came over from America, they were like huge stars in England, but you know, to white audiences. And all the audiences, yes. I remember seeing a B.B. King documentary, and B.B. King, when he walked out on stage and he was supporting the Rolling Stones when they were really famous, and he walked out on stage and he said he was terrified. He said, because there wasn't one black face in the audience.
No.
Everybody was white. And he was frightened because he didn't know what was going to happen because of the persecution he'd suffered in the South of America.
Yeah.
So it's amazing, really. So you look at this film, then you look at what was happening in the black, and yes. then you see Mad Men as almost three faces to what was really happening yes. in America, you know?
Yes, yes. And do you remember the documental I talked to you about Nina Simone?
Si.
What happened to Miss Simone? Mm. They talk about that, of these black people on the South of America. Mm. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
And the way of living, and the way of living of Nina Simone si. with this right. No right. Mm. No right.
Mm.
And you have to see it. It's very, very interesting.
We're going to look that up, actually.
It's incredible, though, really, just over the last 100 years, just how much things have changed. I think we forget just how difficult it was. Because for me now, living now, I don't think of male or female. I think of musician. I think of who you are, not... I don't define people by whether they're black or white or male or
yes.
female or yellow or whatever. I have,
yes.
I have.
For us, it's something strange.
Yeah,
and
I find
understand
it.
That.
I find it hard that we were talking. I wrote in my blog the other day in response to the fact that in England they were saying that out of 95,000 songwriters, there's only 13%, 1/3, are women, and I'm thinking, no way. This can't be right. And it's the first time it really got me thinking about women, because we should just all be doing what we do.
Sure.
And for me to have a job, I've never known any time when I'd have to be married to live off my husband, because I'm supposed to stay home and bake pies.
Yes.
And, you know, like in Mad Men, I mean, how crazy was
yeah.
that? And you go in as a secretary, you know, I mean, how... It's like
the secretary, the perfect.
That's
girl,
right.
Talking like that and all of that.
It's crazy. I just
yes.
can't believe it happened.
Yes.
Well, the thing that. Now, we're just going to move away for a second. Not from this particular conversation, but
okay.
still keeping on with Greece.
See?
Because John Travolta.
I love.
Well, I know all the girls love John Travolta. John Travolta. They made me fucking sick. Sick. It's like in the 70s, for Christ's sake, you know? And
don't get me started on Saturday Night Fever, then.
Well,
I mean, anyway, go back.
Well, just talk, because what you've got to remember is that Grease was released in 1977, okay?
Mm-hmm. I was born in 1979.
Right. No!
Like 2 years yeah. before you were born.
Yeah.
Holy crap! No! Well,
yes.
I think I did my first session in a studio in 1977. And Grease was released that very same year, and it was the same year that punk exploded, really,
the
around
punk.
About that time in England.
In England,
so we had Grease, we had punk. And I was still wearing leather flares. I was still a rock monster, you know, of Led Zeppelin. Mm. So I had big leather flares on and caftans, you know. Mm. And this is 1977, so it was like crazy. But, of course, then, the year after, he did Saturday Night Fever.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Which is...
Disco. So
yes.
Disco. It's funny, you had punk, disco.
Yeah.
Rock was on its way out, so was the electric guitar, really.
I'm not going to respond to that because that's just a load of fucking shit. Anyway, what happened is John Travolta was like mud, Saturday Night Fever, all that poncing around with disco music. Like all this shit, right? So then, but then in 1994, exactly, because in 1994, he then became Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction. And all of a sudden, I watched that film, I thought, John Travolta in the Quentin Tarantino film after watching Reservoir Dogs, and he rocks up there, and he's a bad, bad motherfucker in that. It's fantastic. His role in that, and it changed my mind, and I thought, well, actually, this guy's, I hate to say it, but he's incredibly cool, you know? And Olivia Newton-John, I've always liked Newton-John. I mean, she's a great, she's a great artist.
I was thinking the first film I was shocked, but it's not the film of my life. Grease.
Oh, right, okay.
Or this kind. Was it my first song or,
of course, yeah.
or my first film? But it's not my favorite.
No. It's what changed it all. That was
for example, I love Tarantino's
films,
movies. Mm.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the question
especially
was.
Especially Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, the whole
and
thing.
And Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction, and then, I mean, I like all of them. We watch Kill Bill. We watch them all regularly, you know, like Kill Bill, and even, you know, all the latest ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff he did, Planet Terror and all those things he did. Great films. Anyway, so let's move on, swiftly on, after speaking to John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, Grease, and Pulp Fiction.
And just like to say... Just like to say with Grease, though, the best bit in the movie is when he's...
Yes.
John Travolta sat on the swing, singing Stranded at the Drive-In. Branded a fool. And it's when the hot dog jumps into the bread at the end. Because they're friends. And, you know, we didn't want him to be lonely. But I think I think you remind me more of like a Rizzo character, you know, because you've got passion and attitude. You know, it's like seek forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah,
it's like get out there and live life, and that's how you come across in person.
Mm-hmm.
You're very kind, and I love the transition as well because it's you. And I must say, you're one of the best singers that I've seen on stage. The way that you sing with your band, you have a presence, and you're beautiful to watch. But you are a total performer. You're a singer, but the whole of you transform.
Yes.
And your whole band comes alive.
Thank you.
So, if you can get to see Carol live, in the tech, badass. You are badass.
The shit. That's what she
is. So you're not Sandra D at all. you're a beautiful person. You're kind and gentle, but you've definitely got that passion.
It's like an alter ego.
Yeah,
it's an alter ego. I change my dress. I change my mind. I change my. I love stay in the essence with the audience.
Yeah,
and connect with them.
Yeah,
and make them crazy with dancing or singing. I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
enjoy it. So it's my time. It's me and the audience and the musicians. It's my time.
Mm. I understand. Well, of course you understand it. Because when you get there, all the hassle, all the rehearsals, all the songwriting, all the recording, all the other booking gigs, the whole stuff. And when you're on stage, it's the only time that you can actually be you and actually do what you're supposed to be doing. Because all the other stuff is just shit, really.
So you say you said you're an actress as well. So
yes.
So how do you combine them both? Well, tell me about your acting, the acting side of your creativity.
Well, my activity is singing all the time, but sometimes I have some pieces of theater, and now I'm in a musical about mosqueteros.
The Musketeers?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, and I'm Milady. And I sing. Yes, yes, yes. And I love it. I love this role. I love it.
So would you say that your acting is more musical theatre?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you combine.
And in this moment.
In
this moment.
Fantastic.
Yes, it's very funny. Eh?
And is it a season that you're in? When does it start? When does it finish?
When we have a gig on March.
Okay.
We have March.
Yeah.
But I don't know the place. But okay. I tell you.
CC.
Oh, yes, we want to come.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Definitely.
Yes. It's very nice.
We need to see her. The Three Musketeers.
Are, yes.
Yes, that's what it's called, The Three Musketeers. So it's the original story.
And D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan.
Oh.
And you are Milady.
And I'm Milady, yes.
Right. Oh, that's
nice to meet you.
Right. Perfect. Perfect, love. Well, we'll try and get you on at Oldham Coliseum. That'd be grand, wouldn't it? All right. So
I've played it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know you've played it. I haven't played it at Oldham Coliseum.
See.
So, a person that you have met or know that really inspired you, who do you know that is, or you've met that really has inspired you to either do what you're doing now or do something, you know, fantastic?
A lot of women, like Billie Holiday, for example, or Speranza Spalding. Poof, many women.
And what about people that you've actually met then? You know, people that you've come face to face.
Face to face.
Face to face, see.
Really impact me.
Somebody that's really, you know, got you. Because there must have been somebody who's you've met, that's a teacher or...
I think it's David Garcinski.
No.
Yes.
He's downstairs.
Yes.
Holy...
But it's a secret, eh? Don't tell people.
Yeah, okay.
Well, everything we say on this show is totally
secret. That top secret, yeah.
No, because David was the first person that trusted me, because I didn't think I could sing or do something like that. And he always said to me, you are amazing. You sing very well. You can do it. You have a personality. You have talent. And no, it's not possible. And he always encouraged me.
Mm-hmm. This.
So I think Garcinski is one of the person face to face, encouraged me and helps me to do what I'm doing now.
Well, that is absolutely beautiful. And he's in the Alsace in this very house.
Yeah, and they're still working together.
Have to have drinks. Yes, and they're still working together.
15 years later. Yes. I tell you that, this thing, when you know that transition between, you know, you have a love for music and you love to sing, but to actually call yourself a singer, there's like a whole... you have to go through a lot of pain, mental, am I a singer? Can I do this? Can I, should I? To get to the point where you go, actually, no, this is what I do.
Yeah. When I start singing with him and writing songs, and
see,
this is what, wow, playing at home, yeah.
See.
'Cause I think you're right, though. I think to actually go from that, you know, where you're in your house or your bedroom or the rehearsal studio, and then going out and playing live. And after that first live show, you can sort of say, well, actually, I'm a singer now. I have performed in front of many people who've paid to see me or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I am a singer. It's a big thing. No?
Yes, 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 for me. Eh?
It's for everybody. It's exactly the same with anybody, you know. The first guitar I can remember, the first gig I ever did, you know, and it's terrifying.
Yes.
And afterwards, you're
mine was terrifying.
Yeah.
Was mine terrifying?
Where was it? Where was your first gig?
My first gig was when I was 19 or something like that. And I say, yeah, I can sing Try from Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin, Try. Oh. You know?
Yes.
And I was very, very nervous. And in the rehearsals, it was very good. Try and then do it with... But alive, it was terrible. Oh, my dear. It was terrible. But I do it all the time, and I do it like if I was the best singer in the world.
I bet everybody clapped.
Like killing a kitchen. I don't know what I cut.
And did people enjoy it in the audience? Or
the audience was like that, with the face, surprising face.
Right, so they
watching me and saying, "What happens with this girl?" It was my, I was very nervous. Woof, was terrible.
Well,
terrible.
That is a great thing to reveal, but of course, it's a complete secret. We won't tell anybody about that
absolutely
either.
Absolutely not.
Especially all the Limbertech fans.
So you write songs with David then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how what's your writing process like? What do you do?
Well, we start with a guitar.
Yeah.
And he plays a melody. Si. And I start thinking about a melody with boys.
Si, si.
And it's that.
Together?
Together.
Fantastic.
Together.
Fantastic.
Improving.
Yeah.
Improving?
Improvisation.
Improvisation.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very natural.
Yeah. And then we go with the band. Yeah. You do it?
Yeah, it's very similar. Well, sometimes, I mean, Susie, because she plays piano, so sometimes she'll play piano or bass, and I'll start singing. So it's sort of because we both sing.
Yeah, and
both singers,
that's nice.
And we both play instruments, so it's a bit of a balance.
Wow.
But it's often that I'll start playing guitar and you'll put a melody to it, or you know, or you'll do something on piano and I'll sort of join in and extend that.
So you play piano and the bass?
Si. A little piano, but bass more now.
And the Hammond.
That beast.
Yes, we've just got a Hammond organ in next door, and it's the thing is, I don't think, can you tell the smell in there? It smells old. It smells from like the 60s. You might not get this, but in England, if you in the front room, i.e. the premier salon, in England, the old ladies would always have a front room, and you never used to go in it. They only used to open it two or three times a year with all the best things in there. So you'd go in. And when you went in or opened one of the drawers, it smelt of old things. It smelt of very old...
Like a museum.
Like a museum.
So,
and that's what that organ smells like. When you turn it on, it smells like my grandma's bedroom. It's like...
History.
It's got that, with that burning...
Messy,
yeah, it's
there.
Really...
I have to smell it now.
We'll fire it up later on, I'm sure we will do. Anyway, that's really, really cool.
There was one thing as well about, you know, just talking about the way you write, because I relate to you a lot in terms of the way the music comes to you, but you have, there's something quite unusual with the way the melodies that you write. So I can hear influences of other cultures almost.
Yes.
Different to mine, because it's almost, there's a hint of flamenco. I don't know. Could you explain it to me? There's like a lilt in your melody that I would never write myself because it's not in me.
And the passion as well. I think there's a certain thing about the way that you sing it.
Yeah,
you deliver it in a flamenco way. Some of the scales.
Maybe I love flamencos.
Yeah,
music. I love it. But is that something is inside me? I can't explain it.
You know when
it's
you do the kind of how do you do that? I don't know what it is because I want to do that.
Which song? I don't know.
I'm trying to think now, but we'll listen to one later on. And we'll come back to you.
It's just kind of almost like one of the scales you do or something. It's just you inspire me because you're refreshing to hear the way that you construct your melodies. That's what I'm trying to say, really.
Thank you very much.
Girl power.
Girl John Travolta. Shoot 'em up, man. Pulp fucking fiction. Yeah?
No, we are serious musicians now. I mean, I know we can mess around, but I know that we all take it incredibly seriously.
Of course we do, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we all get on. I mean, we're having a great day today.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all respect each other as musicians. It's a beautiful thing, you know, it really is. It's cool.
Exactly.
So, but just going on. Right here, right now. You're going to be recording a new album soon, is that right? For Limbertech?
We have a project very soon about Mexican music, folk Mexican music. And it's mixed with the Limbertech style, and it will be very, very, very cool.
Excellent.
And
what's happened? Well, you need to tell me more. What, it's a project. And what is this project called?
It's a project because it's a project with a producer from Madrid.
Producer.
Producer.
Si.
Yes. Sorry.
Productor.
El doctore. Il dottore. So it's a mix with this producer, chose the songs, and we made the melodies and the music.
Fantastic. I said that.
Yes.
Stereo.
And probably we will be at the television again.
Excellent. When's this going to happen then? When are you recording this?
Next year.
Fantastic. Well, we need to... Well, I'm sure we'll know a lot about it because David and Carol are big friends of us, so I'm sure we'll be meeting up to talk about it even more. I need to listen to it.
Yes.
Mexican Limbatec.
Yeah. But this is a secret too.
Top secret. Okay.
Top secret.
Where is the gold, senor? Where is the gold? That's right. We're Mexicans. That's right. It always reminds me of... A Few Dollars More. You remember the old Clint Eastwood films? Have you seen those? They were recorded in Spain.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, like Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More. We need to watch those again. I know you hate Mexicans dying, but I think we need to watch them. But
I love the food. I'm just not into the genre of film.
But it's the Mexicans. And, you know, I've been to Mexico a few times, and I was very disappointed that when I got there, I didn't see one guy in a sombrero.
Si.
Not one big sombrero. Not one. And not one old burro, not one donkey. I didn't see one fucking donkey all the time. Every time I've ever seen a donkey, I've never seen a fucking sombrero. I've seen more sombreros in Valencia than in Mexico.
Yes, is the look we have of the typical, no
bandidos.
Clichés.
Yeah, cliché.
No bandidos, no hat.
No hat, no bandanas of
this
bullets.
Is not Mexico.
No.
This is another place.
That's right. There's only one thing that I remember seeing in Mexico because I was there scuba diving, and I remember going out on the boat, and there was a desert. We were in La Paz, which is right at the bottom of Mexico on the Baja California. And when you're sailing out on a small inflatable boat, I looked to the left, izquierda, and
very good.
And you
see
all these cactuses. But you know the classic
the
cactuses.
Classic one.
Yeah, the ones like with arms, you know, the ones that are like that. it's very difficult to miss. This is a podcast, of course, but I'm trying to indicate one that looks like a man sort of standing it with his arm up, a cactus. And you expect Lee Van Cleef or Clint Eastwood to come riding out past one, you know what I mean? It's shooting at each other. But I didn't see anything. No bandidos, no fucking sombreros, no burros. So fuck Mexico. That's for our Mexican listeners to that.
I tell you what, we had prickly pears here around the corner.
The prickly
It's not
pear.
Funny, you know, because we went out for a walk and Bobby came down. She came running down and she had half a prickly pear stuck to a culo. And she was trying to get it out.
She's trying to get it out, and she had them all in his.
She had all these spikes in her mouth.
And
I'm like, come here, baby.
No,
so it's just like, but she gets a snout and everything.
Bobby.
So anyway, I'm trying to get them out of her mouth. Well, we both were. Then I get pricked myself, and it really hurts.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, it really hurts.
Yeah. So
yes,
I don't want. Yeah. You go to Mexico, and everything that you think's there is here.
Well, that's
it's
right.
Yeah, Mexico's here.
See, Mexico is in Spain and living and. Cactus in the culo. That actually might be the title for our next record.
Cactus.
Starlight Cammerbang. Cactus in the culo. Very dramatic. A pain
Love
in
it.
The ass. There we are.
A pain in the ass. Cactus in the culo.
Right. Well, enough of this now. So, knowing what you know now, as a you know, you're not a. An older lady, but you're a mature woman, which is cool. What words of advice would you give to yourself now if you were 12? So imagine there was two Carol Mendozas. There's Carol Mendoza at 30... Well, 30...
30...
Yeah, I'm not
21,
gonna say,
21.
30-something, very early 30.
21.
And then the Carol Mendoza, talking to the Carol Mendoza when she was 12, what would you say to each other?
12. Mm. With 12. Play the guitar, girl. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Study music and play the guitar because you love it. Yes, because when I was very young, when I was a child, my mother takes me to ballet and theater, but never to
music.
play any
instrument.
So I would love it. Me hubiera gustado.
And that's it? Mm. pick up the guitar girl.
Play the guitar girl.
God, you two are so similar. It's incredible. You're right. The two of you in the same room. There's only me.
Can I...
Girl power. Oh.
And Starlight, to you right now, it's a, you start playing now. I only started playing bass a couple of years ago.
Yes, like you.
Please.
Yes, I have to.
It's never too late. Because when it's too late is when you're in the ground.
When you are...
Yeah, adios, terminado.
Caput.
Well, that's right. Well, I've just started learning piano.
Piano.
Yeah. I've just started now, so I've had...
You started?
Yeah, I've just started. With two lessons now. I'm going to the Yamaha Music School in Valencia.
See?
Yeah.
Just to start in the right way, so I get the techniques and everything. So, so I've started playing piano.
That's amazing, Simon.
Wow. There we are. It is amazing. I'm not dead, though. It's all right. I'm only fucking 57. It's okay. I can still... fuck you, both of you.
And fuck you.
Yeah, there we are. You both.
Fuck you.
I knew this was going to happen. Right.
The other thing as well, there was a piece we saw the other day, and it said, this man, who was it? It was 90 years old, said, why do you still practice? And he said, because I feel that I am improving.
Very nice.
Yeah. I am making progress.
Oh, that's it. I am making progress.
One of the most famous cellists in the world, you know, who practices every day.
Yeah. See? Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean, though. When you're like 10, 11, if somebody started playing something, one of your friends played an instrument from 8, you would feel like you were behind then.
Yeah.
And no matter, when you're 15, you think, oh, I should have started when I was 11 because all my friends are playing much better than me. And and it just gets to that point when you sometimes never get on the bus.
Yeah, the time passes and you are always thinking, I can't.
But I always think that if you're going to pick up a new instrument, do it for you, you know, if you want to do it. And it's not a competition. It's your life.
It's for you.
Experience.
Yeah.
And I think it would be fantastic.
That's right. Yes. Just, I have to...
Yeah, you have to start off with a few guitar books and get someone to teach you. Well, Simon, show you how to.
And I have David and I have Camilo.
So. You have so many guitarists around you.
But David is a hard teacher. Eh?
He's hard.
See.
As well.
Yeah. See.
Right. Okay. Yes, he was showing me a few jazz chords the other night. He is a hard teacher.
See.
So moving on to.
Well, basically, I made it. Let's play one of the songs that you've written and that you're singing on. We'd love to hear it. What song have you chosen?
This song is in Spanish.
Sí.
And it's called On the Floor.
El champán se desliza por el suelo. Se pega la suela de mi talón. Los tobillos se mueven con el tum del tambor. Las colillas decoran el negro salón. On the floor, on the floor, on the floor. Te pisan, te empujan, te revuelcas. Te marcas tú solo en Charleston. La gente se acelera, empieza el descontrol. Ya solo siento las venas. On the floor, on the floor,
Limbatec. I'm on the floor.
Bloody hell.
I love that song.
It's very fierce. Now, I think from that track, and I think we may, well, you may hear some more over the next few weeks of Limbatec, but because we've got some other guests on. But to me, it's got such energy. It's got such energy. The sound is really good from a recorded point of view. Of course, I love recording sound, and it sounds great. It's very strong and very, very, you know, you can say it's overcompressed, the thing, but it's very powerful. It's fantastic. Yes. And your voice is very, very passionate and punky. It would be in England. That's probably the most.
That's not Greece.
No, it's not.
Absolutely not. No, yes. It's definitely more. It's definitely more punk. It's, you know.
It's everything. It's the guitar, the power of the guitar with Garthinsky and the piano. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That's nice. And I love it. It's something like rockabilly, but closer to the punk, for example.
It's very close to punk, yeah. It's very close. But it's with an updated sound, it's, you know, it's very exciting music. You know?
And the beautiful thing is that I don't have to understand the lyrics because I almost feel like I understand what you're saying with the music.
Yes.
Which is quite beautiful.
That is the feeling we have with the English songs.
Yeah.
We can't understand the lyrics, but we feel the music.
See.
We usually do it, so we know it. And this is talking about, a party with the champagne on the floor and everyone's dancing. And I saw a boy and give me fire, and we are going to do it here.
Yeah.
We are talking about, I don't know, but we are going to do it here. Yeah. And right now, why not?
Why not?
We don't know us, we don't know meet us, but we are going to do it. This is the lyrics, more or less.
That's fantastic. Rather like we were just listening to the Beatles earlier on. Why don't you do it in the road? Oh, that sort of shit, you know?
Something like
it's
that,
it's very similar sort of thing. Why don't we do it, you know? And why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it at the party?
Something
Holy
like that.
Crap.
Yes.
Wow. I actually can't speak because I so love that track. And I'm just trying to think.
But you like the toms, don't you? See, I knew that again.
Oh, yeah.
You've not heard that before, have you?
On
like through the cans like this.
No, no. I've heard it before live, but you know, like actually with the recording, it's just beautiful. And I have a thing for toms. I just love that.
Thank you.
That rhythm.
It's cool.
And the sound.
Fantastic.
I want to ask you, I think you should just stay for a week and we'll just talk about your music. We'll just talk and we'll make more paella and everything and hang out and have some fun, but we can't.
Another time. I suppose we can. There's nothing to stop us from doing it. Unfortunately, it's December, so it's a bit chilly out at night.
I really like what you do with your music, and I just, we'll have to talk again sometime because I'd like to know more about what you write about and the inspirations, you know, because you've definitely, today I've learned, you know, with your dancing from when you were a child, it's translated into the music that you're creating yourself. So music is very powerful. So, when you're a child, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe for that, yeah.
Well, I think we've actually got a couple of guests that we might do a special show with. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but Carol very likely may be one of them. We're going to spill some special shows, and hopefully she'll come and join us.
Yes, indeed.
And do that. But thank you very much for listening to the Supertone Show. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at podcast@supertonerecords.com. That's all one word, supertonerecords.com. We're available on iTunes, Mixcloud, and Deezer. Basically just stick Supertone Show in the internet.
And the simoncampbell.com website. If you're not signed up to iTunes or Mixcloud, we post it on there, don't we?
Yeah, so simoncampbell.com and our Facebook. I mean, we're everywhere, you know. If you want to Twitter, it's at Suzy and Simon. That's Suzy and Simon, all one word. So please subscribe to the podcast. It's great for you to be there. We know there's an increasing number of listeners now, and this is our Christmas edition, so have a lovely Christmas,
Feliz
fantastic
Navidad.
New Year. Feliz Navidad.
Yay.
Thank you very much to Carol Mendoza, the very charismatic and lovely. Yeah.
Thank you, Simon and Susie. Thank you. I love you.
Okay.
We love you too.
Okay. Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.